Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Hiya, Sam. It's Thursday today. We're going to try and knock out two episodes and put one out Thursday and one out on Friday, aren't we?
Yeah, great.
So much content to get through.
Just too much content in this world. It's a beautiful world. You know what my son said to me yesterday morning?
What's
that? He went, I am so happy to be a human being.
Oh.
And I went, yeah. And then I thought, that's a bit arrogant, actually. And I went, yeah, but people say that the humans believe themselves to be the apex of all God's creations.
Yeah.
He obviously went blank at this stage. I said, but in fact, we're not top. We're not top ranking here on planet Earth.
What's top, pigs?
No, the trees.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because you can't... The trees have been here longer.
Yeah.
Also, the trees are really cool. They're like Clint Eastwood or Steve McQueen. They just fucking stand there and they don't make a fuss about shit. They're just there and they're... ice cold, aren't they?
Did you sort of knock him down a peg or two then and just tell him he's not as good as a tree?
I said, just remember, you think you're the bee's knees because you were lucky to be born a human, but you're not a tree and you're never going to be one. And we should all be humble and respect trees because, to be fair, he did say, yeah, they're the ones who give us the oxygen. And I said, exactly. So they're above us in the pecking order. But then he clarified what he meant. He went, what I really meant was I was happy to be alive. Mm. And then I said, that is amazing. And then he listed the reasons why. Most of them were like things like FIFA, which he's got really into, and so on and so forth. And I thought, yeah, it is a great world. There's a lot of shit going down all the time. Mm. And there's a lot of sources of enjoyment. And really, that is manifested nowhere more clearly than on Top Flight Time Machine, the world's most popular podcast, because we're spilling over with great content, and that is because the world is rich with things, sights, smells and events that need discussing by people like you and I.
Did you say all that to your son?
He'd fucking left the room, hadn't he, by this stage.
He just delivered that speech to an empty room then.
Said it, ended up saying it in the mirror.
Yeah. Thing is, though, I mean, he said that, he's so happy to be alive or happy to be a human?
Yeah, he was happy to be a human.
The thing is, he's seven or something like that?
Seven, yeah.
Well, you know what, you should have just explained that's going to get knocked out of him pretty soon, because by the time he gets to our age, mid-40s, every day is a living hell.
The whole human thing, the novelty wears off, doesn't it?
Did it when bits start fucking failing and not working so well and dropping
by
off?
By our age, you're not even interested much in wanking anymore.
No, exactly.
You're like, you can't be bothered. You haven't got the energy.
Yeah.
You've done all the wanks anyway. I mean, you know. And
there's no inspiration anymore.
Fucking inspiration at all. And, you know, when you're younger, you think, well, even if I'm down on my luck, I'm skint. I can't afford to go to the pub. I haven't got a girlfriend. I haven't got a job. I might not even have a house, but you've always got a cock.
Yeah.
That you can wank.
Free entertainment.
Exactly. And you've always got that. But when you're our age, you're not even that interested in that anymore.
Nah.
So
the thing is, when you're like 15, anything can give you the horn. Chalk on the end of a snoot cue gives you the horn. You know, dropping a coin on the ground gives you the horn. Anything.
I remember, this is arguably even weirder than the two examples you just gave. I remember once picking up the local newspaper, the Brentford, Chiswick and Isleworth Times, and there was a picture of Sarah Ferguson, and it was Fergie in her pomp. And she had visited local hospital, West Middlesex, in Isleworth to open a ward or something. She was still with Andrew, must have been late 80s. And her skirt had just blown up a little bit, and you could just see a tiny bit of Fergie's thigh.
Yeah.
And I remember it gave me the absolute fucking raging horn. I mean, it was just... And this was a grainy, bad printing. This is way before colour newspapers.
Yeah.
This was a bad, badly reproduced black and white photo on the front of a dreary local newspaper of easily the least attractive royal princess of the 80s, right? And I include...
Well, worse than Princess Anne.
I include Princess Anne in that, yes. And yet I was consumed by sexual desire.
Yeah.
And I won't tell the rest of the story, but you can guess it, what happened
it
next.
It writes itself, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah.
Fergie and Prince Andrew got married in 86, I think, when I was 14. And I can say without fear of contradicting myself that I'll have been triggered at some point by Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Yeah. And yet now, yeah. that was then. Now, fucking Beyonce could walk down. You could bump into a Beyonce down the Asda in Sunderland,
yeah.
in a knickers and bra and a pair of heels, walking yeah. down the aisle doing her shopping, mm-hmm. right? And she could wink at you,
mm-hmm.
and you'd feel probably nothing. Andy.
Nothing, yeah,
nothing.
I'd just look at the floor, probably.
You'd roll your eyes and tap. Probably you'd be annoyed if anything.
Yeah, but back mid 80s, Sarah Ferguson, fucking Gloria Hunniford, Jan Ooh. Lehman, anyone triggered?
Anyone?
Anything?
Andy Peters?
Probably.
Yeah.
We've got an email from Andy Peters, but it's not the Andy Peters; it's a different one.
Oh,
we might get around to that a bit later on.
This and that.
While we're talking about trees, someone sent us a tweet, and it's a story of Bangladesh's tree man. He
yeah.
is back in hospital and he needs more surgery. And he's a good-looking fella. He's got a nice moustache, got lovely dark eyes,
yeah.
And a little goatee beard. But sadly, his hands are fucking made of bark and they're massive.
It's the fucking real-life Edward Scissorhands.
Because,
of course, Johnny Depp, you know, few men of recent times have been more attracted than Johnny Depp, but the poor fucker had scissors for hands. And that really got in the way of his love life to Winona Ryder in that film.
And his wanking.
And his wanking, absolutely. And this Bangladeshi guy is living it for real. I mean, tree hands are going to put some ladies off, no matter what else you got going for you.
And that's the thing, that's the sadness in this, because he is a good-looking fella. He's 28. Abdul Banjadar from Bangladesh.
Good name as well, sexy name.
Yeah, sexy Abdul. And obviously, you just tell by looking at him, he's got a lovely personality, a winning personality.
Yeah.
But he's just got two fucking massive tennis rackets made out of bark for hands. And like you say, people see, they don't see beyond that. People don't see the personality deep down. They look at the massive hands and they just think, that's not
it.
For me. And again,
it's
going to impact on the wanking as well for him.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we'll follow that with interest. Presumably, it's a similar condition to the one that Manuel Pellegrini suffers from.
His face.
But, of course, Pellegrini's got the money to go and see the top specialists in the field of tree man disorder. But this lad in Bangladesh doesn't have the same opportunities as Pellegrini. That's why Pellegrini's managed to rein it in. I mean, you see Pellegrini, you think he looks like he's carved out of a tree. Yeah.
Mm.
But imagine if he hadn't had all the top-notch specialist treatment. There would be fucking roots and leaves growing out of his eyes.
I think they use one of those electric sanders and just sand him down once every few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which keeps him looking relatively human.
Yeah. So Karen Brady wrote about it in her Sun column.
Did she?
Yeah, she wrote a column about it. Like saying, yeah, it's been great having Pellegrini around the club. He's really been a breath of fresh air. And I enjoy watching his morning sanding by the kit man does it with a Black and Decker.
Was he stretched out completely naked? Did they sand him from head to toe, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of knobbles and stuff that can develop just overnight.
Knots in the bark.
Yeah, knots in the bark, yeah.
Yeah, good
stuff. We've talked about they let some kids from the local community come and do rubbins with crayons and paper on his face. Yeah. And then he signs it afterwards.
That's good that when football clubs get into the community and stuff like that and let the kids get involved behind the scenes.
And she's like, when we had David Moyes, he didn't do any of that stuff.
Nah, I imagine.
And that's why it's good to have Pellegrini in, because he's more conscious of engaging with the community.
Yeah. Brilliant. Speaking of footballers engaging with the community, another seamless link here. Did you see the story about the Norwich player, Ornel Hernandez, who declared his love of Argos yesterday?
No, this sounds good.
25-year-old Norwich City, Cuba-born winger, who's a German national, because everything's complicated like that now, he said that he lives in a perfect area of Norwich with an H&M, a Costa and a Boots nearby.
Mm.
This is an interview with the Norwich official programme, and he moved on to Argos and he said, "You can order bikes, TVs. We don't have this in Germany." He says, "Argos has everything, and I've never seen anything like this in my life before." He goes out to say, "When I need something, I buy it from Argos."
Mate, this gives me a really good idea for another one of our TV shows.
Although you rejected
my last one, which is the first time you've ever rejected one of my
ideas. The last
ideas.
One was quite unsavoury, wasn't it? What was it again?
I can't remember. I've lost track of it now. So
yeah.
Maybe it was shit.
I said straight away I wasn't getting involved in it, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, there was no hesitation. No, you were just like, I'm out.
No chance. Yeah.
So this one, you know, like you see a lot of viral videos of a kid who was born deaf, who's had his eardrums fixed, and they go, and it says, kid hears for first time. Or sometimes someone's been cured of blindness.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's just someone, like, they blindfold them and then they take a kid and they take them to Disney World and you get the reaction. Or it's very much like the trend for unboxing as well. You know, what if we did a series where we took foreign footballers into Argos for the first time and just showed them? So, for instance, Higuain has just signed for Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic striker, amazing record in European top clubs and for Argentina. He's rocking up in Chelsea, right? Of course, he's got the King's Road, all the fancy schmancy boutiques, you know.
Yeah.
And restaurants and all the rest of it. But he'll get to grips with them quick, but it won't be that different from what he's experienced in Milan or Madrid in his previous jobs. What we do is we take him to Argos on the nearby North End Road, which is rather more gritty than the King's Road. And we walk him along, just film, chatting to him, ask him where he usually buys his stuff, asking him a few questions about his experience of shopping all around the world. Then we take him into an Argos and we just capture that first reaction when he starts going through the catalogue and realising the amount of goods and services that are behind that magical counter.
Yeah, exactly. We need to try and be clever about this and try and usher him past the catalogues and the computer ordering terminals and up to the bit where they sell the stuff over the counter, where they've got the stuff that's reduced, like some board games and some tellies. Yeah. Show him that first, and he'll go... The
Nerf guns.
Yeah. Show him that first and he'll be like, "What's the big deal? What's the big deal? I've seen all this shit before.
I get that, no problem.
This is a shit little shop. What are you bringing me here for?
What am I even doing here, you couple of fucking freaks?
Why you waste my time? I want cappuccino and cafe down road, you fucking assholes." But then we turn him round, we spin him round, show him the catalogue.
I mean, the fucking
catalogue now is like 1,200 pages thick.
Yeah.
Show him that.
Look, mate, a fucking cross trainer, a steam iron, right? Some fucking earrings, silverine earrings, right? A foot fucking spa. Right, and a Lego Millennium fucking Falcon, all under one roof, all behind that fucking counter, you cunt.
And they've started selling the clothing range from Sainsbury's two stores
fucking
in Argos as well now, because they're all owned by the same company. Blow his fucking mind, it would.
I don't need to ask you whether you do this, because I instinctively know you do. We might have even discussed it. All I want to know is how much time you spend on an average week going online and looking at old Argos catalogues from the 80s. Because for me, it's an average of 2 hours a week.
Sometimes.
That's a mean average.
What I'd really like to be able to do, I don't know if this is available online, it's probably bound to be, and it's something I'm going to be looking up straight after we've done this, is to go through 1980s editions of the Kay's catalogue, in particular the lingerie section. Yeah. Which brings us back.
Yeah, to the memories of things that could titillate you that no longer would.
Yeah, many, many an hour sat behind the sofa in the bear window where I'd created like a kind of a, let's call a wank den.
Where I could, lovely.
Where I could peruse the Kay's catalogue lingerie section to my pleasure and amusement.
When I went on holiday as an adolescent, talking of wank dens, it'd be like, I'd go on holiday as an adolescent, and if we were staying somewhere like a rented place or something, I remember getting there and almost straight away thinking, right, secretly in my head, right, where am I going to do my wank? You know, scouting around. Right, as soon as we get through the door, you know, you've got a rental place, you get the key, key's not fucking working, give it a bit of a jiggle, and then the door opens and everyone starts spreading out, and some people want to look
this
at the kitchen.
This is my room, I'm having this
room. Yeah, I'm having this room. Oh, look at the kitchen. Oh, where's the telly?
Oh, it's got a fancy shower.
Oh, fucking hell, there's a utility room. I'm just like, right, where's the best place to do wanking? We're here for 2 fucking weeks. I'm gonna be doing a lot of wanking on this holiday, because you know you're probably gonna be at a public pool or a beach where you're gonna see a lot of people in bikinis.
Triggered.
So that you're gonna be triggered left, right, and centre. And again, you talk about that now. We can look back and laugh, because now the things that used to trigger you now, if anything, would give you what I would call an inverse erection.
Make you sick.
Just like, your penis would disappear inside your body, because the very idea of exerting your mind and body and emotions with sexual activity is just like, oh, fucking hell, it's the last thing I need. I've still got to do my VAT return.
Yeah, my emotions are fragile, for fuck's sake. Ah, different times.
Mm.
Look at that!
Let's move on to this weekend's football and the prediction league. Now then, Sam, you are 2 points clear of results, bot, at the top
fuck
of the league.
Fuck you now.
Due
amazing,
to your predict methodology. Yep. But a bit of a curveball coming in this weekend, because it's FA Cup fourth round. So this could either make you or break you. How do you feel?
Why do you think it can make me or break me?
Well,
why
because
is this
you've
weekend
got
different
teams from different leagues and stuff. Leagues you've never heard of.
No, it doesn't matter. You misunderstand the total prediction methods.
Okay.
A lot of it is just based on raw instinct. That's the thing.
Right.
In the past, when I was struggling early in the season, I was working against my instincts. I was trying to apply reason and rationale to my predictions. I was overthinking. Now, it's almost like a transcendental state where I shut my eyes, I focus on my breathing, I breathe through the stomach, like they tell you in yoga, and I just listen to you read out the fixture, and then almost like I'm speaking in tongues, I don't know what I'm going to say. My brain isn't actually consciously engaged. The prediction comes out of my mouth, and it's a transcendental state, and therefore, whatever the fixture, the same methodology applies.
Even if it's a team you're not familiar with all that much, that still applies. Do you think in some sense you actually become the fixture?
Yeah, I do. And I think that I am guided by, some people will call it God. If you're not comfortable with that, you could just call it the universe.
It's a higher power of some kind, yeah.
There is a higher power as you choose to see it.
Yeah.
Takes me over.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me as one with the football fixture.
Yeah.
And my mouth just generates a prediction.
Oh, well, let's just put that to the test then, shall we? We've got the 16 FA Cup fixtures this weekend, so the random number generator has selected 5 of them at random. There's no shenanigans whatsoever, so don't think there is. First one, Millwall versus Everton. Millwall, of course, who might well be up to their old tricks again.
Oh, yeah.
Your rivals.
They'll be up to their old tricks by, like, no fucking doubt about it. There's been a lot of talk of Millwall. On my West Ham group, there's been a lot of talk of Millwall up to their old tricks recently.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get on later in the show to our favourite news story of the week, which is about the English family gone rogue in New Zealand.
Can we just rattle through these predictions now and get to that then?
But just briefly, when I shared that with my West Ham group, right, on WhatsApp, the West Ham fan group. Yeah. I shared that story yesterday, about the same time I shared it with you. And, of course, the immediate response I got from two or three of them was simply, Millwall, up to their old tricks. Anyway, we'll get on to that story if you haven't seen it. It's very important business, yeah.
Millwall versus Everton, then, what do you reckon?
Millwall versus Everton at New Den, right? Let me just let the higher power take control of me. 1-1.
1-1. Now, as I said earlier in the season, Everton manager Silva, is it Silva? Whatever his name is a fraud.
He's a charlatan.
And I think that's starting to come true. That's starting to become apparent. And I think 1-0 Millwall, this one. And, of course, results, but also says 1-0.
Yeah, well, if I was thinking rationally, I might agree with you. But, of course, I gave myself over to the universe, and the universe thinks it's a draw.
You became the fixture briefly there.
Yeah.
Felt good. Next one, Middlesbrough versus Newport.
Oh, this is a tough one to predict. I'm going to go Middlesbrough 2, Newport 1.
Oof. 2-1 to Middlesbrough. Just jot that down. I think 3-0 to Middlesbrough.
Okay.
Quite a comfortable win coming, I think, here. We'll move on to Shrewsbury versus Wolves. Again, another potential upset in the FA Cup.
No, I think that's going to be 0-2.
0-2. I will... I'm going to go 0-2 as well. Not any kind of power play there. That's just what I think. Fourth one is Portsmouth versus QPR. Arguably the highlight of the fourth round.
That actually will be a fun fixture. Portsmouth have got tremendous away support for games like this.
No, they're at home, though.
Oh, yeah, Portsmouth, what am I fucking QPR talking about? Yeah, oh, okay. All right. I think this is going to be a tough one for QPR. QPR... I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. I think 3-1 Portsmouth.
Wow.
Yeah. And finally, Accrington Stanley versus baby man Frank Lampard's Derby County, who now have Ashley Cole in their ranks.
Accrington Stanley? You know Accrington Stanley? You can't say it unless you say it in a Scouse accent.
Accrington Stanley.
Because of the milk advert, but...
Of course.
But... Is it a Scouse club? Or do we just think of it as Scouse because of that little Scouser saying it when he's having his milk?
No, I don't think it's Scouse. Accrington, it's not Scouse, is it?
I don't know.
Let's just say no.
Accrington Stanley versus who? Who are they? Exactly!
I've just said Derby County, baby man Frank Lampard and his new pal Ashley Cole.
Ashley, you better come over here quick. You never guess what's happening.
The game's, help, Ashley.
The game's gone mad, Ashley, you're since you left. The game, it was a better time when we all played together at Chelsea. Me
different
and you
times.
And Didier Drogba and JT. Oh, that was when football was football. When we played fair. Now there are all sorts of foreigners here doing spying on me. There's a man at Leeds United who's a real rotter. Ashley's like, yeah, all right, man. I'll come over. Ashley Cole.
Are you becoming the fixture?
Ashley Cole playing for Derby County against Accrington Stanley. I think it's going to be 1-3 to Derby.
1-3 to Derby. I'd say 1-1 that one.
Oh.
That's what I say. And that's the predictions. Let's see how that pans out over the weekend then.
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
I think at this point, all we can do is move on to the story about the family in New Zealand on holiday.
Very important story, this, for the Top Flight Time Machine Cunter community. It's why, really, we're doing a special extra episode this week.
It just beautifully taps into our emotional needs, doesn't it?
It really does. Well, where to begin? First of all, mate, well, should we just give an overview first before we
get into
the
details?
I'll leave
it to you, because you found it. You can explain it in any way you choose to see fit.
Okay, let me just quickly call up the story. But the gist of it is that a family, a group, actually, of tourists, believed to be English, although even their ethnicity remains shrouded in some confusion, but they are on the loose in New Zealand now. They arrived in early January, although some reports say they've been there since late December.
Longer.
And there are, basically, it's an escalation of numerous stories from all over the area of a large, raucous, fun-loving, you could say, English family who have been causing a series of, like, minor incidents, which when you build them all up together, paint the picture of, like, people who are terrorising the otherwise very sort of, how would you describe New Zealanders? They're kind of just calm,
just
reasonable
there.
People.
They're just
people.
I should add that this campaign of terror has led the mayor, no less, of Auckland to dub them as assholes, trash, leeches, and worse than pigs.
A British family have somehow made themselves public enemy number one in New Zealand after journeying to the North Island of the country and almost immediately making headlines, not for good reasons. Just about every major news outlet in New Zealand covered the story of how the group had apparently managed to trash beaches, appear in court. They're just on holiday. I think a court appearance when you're on a holiday is really impressive. Ruin flights, steal food and drink, harass locals and be called pigs by the mayor of Auckland. That's from BuzzFeed, who have been covering this story really, really well. Well, let's just start taking you through some of the things this lot have been up to. By the way, the speaking to a local radio station, the Auckland mayor's name's Phil Goff, said that they were arseholes, trash and leeches. He later told New Zealand Herald the tourists were worse than pigs. The group, this group of English British tourists, have threatened to sue the mayor for his remark.
Power player.
We should say that because there's a mystery surrounding these people.
Yeah.
We should cover ourselves just like BuzzFeed have done. So there's no way of verifying whether the British family are responsible for all of the accusations.
Yeah, they're just allegations.
There seems to be a pattern of kind of public disorder, littering, petty theft, and just acts of aggression.
Antisocial behaviour.
That have been taking place and are all linked, reportedly, to a British family. So the pattern suggests it's all one family. A group of British people travelling together were handed deportation notices by police on January the 15th after what is described cryptically as an incident in a Burger King.
Oh.
It was the culmination of days of reports from New Zealand press about the family's alleged antics. The individuals served by immigration officials have 28 days to appeal or just fuck off out of New Zealand. It started with a viral video, right? This is great. Yeah. It started with a viral video. A New Zealand woman confronted a tourist about the mess they'd left on a beach before a young boy wearing a Bunnings hardware store hat, I don't know what that is, approached her shouting, "I'll knock your brains out!" Although there were some suggestions that he was Irish, which I prefer to think, because then it's like a young... She goes, "Pardon me, would you mind picking up some of that litter you'd left?" And the response of one of the youngest people in the group is to run and go, "I'll knock your brains out!"
And there's a picture of him in the hat, and it's clearly an adult hat, and he's clearly a child, and it's far too big for him. It's covering his entire head.
Yeah. I'll knock your fucking brains out, so I will. They all started shouting at this woman, and because they'd thrown rubbish fucking everywhere, right? Yeah. They started shouting at her, saying, you know what they did? They pulled a Delaney. They literally shouted. When she said, can you pick up litter? They shouted, you fucking do
you
it.
You fucking do it.
If it means that much. And she went, but it's your litter. And they went, what's the fucking council for then? That's what they're for, aren't they? You fucking woman, do it or the council will do it.
The woman who shot the video of them, one of the men from the group tried to run her down with his car and attempted to steal her phone.
It's so over the top as a reaction. Like, they were pissed. Right, the quote says, this family packed up and left all their rubbish on the reserve, a nature reserve. Approximately 12 of them all drinking Coronas and Bundaberg, with two babies and a young boy. All the adults appeared to be intoxicated. We approached them and asked them if they could not leave without picking up their rubbish. Their response was basically, if we had a problem, then we can pick it up. And that's what the council's for. You fucking do it. They've been listening to the podcast. I approached the family to ask them again if they could not disrespect the countryside. They turned violent, and even grandma and the child got involved, saying they wanted to punch my head in.
Lovely.
Now, that's the mark of a real kind of... a really sort of hardcore family when Nana and the kids are going.
Yeah.
And this is not... like, I could imagine my nan, or my mum, certainly, turning violent if someone was really obnoxious. Like... mm. My mum is the sort of person who'd make violent threats if someone had been really out of order. But if someone's just come over and politely said, do you mind picking up your rubbish? And the grandma and the kid say, I'll punch your fucking head in. You're dealing with a serious fucking family here, aren't you?
There you are. And then there's some restaurant fuckery as well. There's two restaurants in Northcote, Mr. India and the Backyard Bar, make accusations.
India.
The manager of the Backyard Bar restaurant accused the group of ordering food on January the 3rd before putting ants in it and refusing to pay.
I mean, I don't know what you thought when you read that, but I thought that sounds like a good scam.
Yeah, definitely.
They also did it with hair.
There was another restaurant. Yeah, they ordered hundreds of dollars worth of food before complaining they'd found hair in it and refusing to pay. I remember there was a fella in a restaurant in Sunderland a couple of years ago was in the news because he'd had a meal and then he released a rat into the restaurant. But
it's
like
a great idea.
It was like clearly spotted. So everyone sat there, saw him do it. He got it out of a bag and just put it on the floor and went, I'm not paying, there's a rat in here.
I mean, I have not paid in restaurants several times because of either really appalling service or something that was very inadequate about the food or something. Mm. I'm a bit of a... I can get quite cunty when I feel that I'm being mugged off in a restaurant.
Right.
But what it's... and I've never scanned a restaurant and contrived a situation like that. But what I have found is that it's surprisingly easy if you've got the courage of your convictions to just leave without paying. One time I was in a pub in Rye in Sussex and the service took so long and we had quite a lot of young children. You know what it's like when they're really hungry and tired and they're crying?
Yeah.
And when the food eventually turned up, it was a fucking insult. And I became so angry because obviously when you're hungry, you get extra angry. And in the
hungry.
End, rather than complain, I let the kids finish what was the insulting food they'd been served. We still hadn't been served. We had a few drinks. I mean, I wasn't drinking alcohol, but I went up to the bar and I said, can I speak to the manager? And they said, yeah. And the manager came out and I didn't even explain myself. I just went, we're leaving now and we are not paying. And she looked and there was a long pause and she could see in my eyes that I had been driven to this. And I had that sort of, I had a menacing calm about me.
Yeah.
And she just looked and paused, weighed it all up and just went, okay then. And we walked out. So it can be done. And I thought, when I read about this family, who are pretty obnoxious, but I did respect them for the scam with the hair, because I thought, if you're skint and you want a big meal, then it's an easy thing to do.
And then we move on to one of the court appearances. I think there's only been one. One of the women from the group, Tina Maria Cash, appeared in court after being accused of stealing energy drinks, rope and sunglasses from a petrol station.
She go on in there. Go on in there and get us an energy drink and some rope, for fuck's sake.
She pleaded guilty and was ordered to pay a $55 fine. There's a photograph of her with a hoodie over her face to mask her identity, which what looks like the court appearance. And in the foreground of the picture is a toddler with shoulder-length hair, shirtless, and he's giving the camera the finger.
It's a fucking sensational
magnificent
picture. It's a picture that I would almost... See the woman's legs in the picture? I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah.
That would have triggered us in the old days.
Oh, God, yeah, Jesus.
She's got a lovely pair of legs.
Above the knee, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice pair of slippers as well.
Yeah, everything about it is... Everything's beautiful. That picture of the kid, we'll put it on Twitter, giving the finger with his face blurred out. It's almost worthy of becoming the new Top Flight Time Machine profile picture. It's that good. I think it sums up a lot of what we stand for.
I think it does, yeah. Can I just get the absolute favourite bit of this story? There's an interview with the New Zealand Herald with the group, the man at the centre of the group, and do you know what he said his name was? John Johnson.
Now, first of all, mate, what's your name? My name, yes, it's John. John what? John Johnson. John Johnson, that's it.
And he also told the New Zealand Herald that his grandfather is the 10th richest man in England.
Yes, the 10th. He used to be the 9th, but then then Danny Dyer got the EastEnders contract, and now he's the 10th.
He got it with Spotted Bother. No, he's just 10th.
He's dropped down a bit, but, you know, he's got high hopes of going back up to 9th next year.
And John Johnson says, he describes himself as a fat kid from England on holiday who's now been forced to go home early because the New Zealand people are treating my family like shit.
I think you're treating them like shit.
He says, we're here to see the hobbits. He says, I've been looking at the hobbits my whole life since I'm born. That was originally what our plans was, but it's all been fucked up now. I feel very unwelcome here. I feel like an alien invader. I don't feel happy, and I'm far from Irish.
Oh, yeah, so I'm actually... Sorry, because they were originally accused of being Irish in the video, I'm saying all these things in Irish because in my mind they are, and that's actually awful. They're English.
So there we are. That's John Johnson and his family causing havoc in New Zealand. Do you know what I think this is all going to turn out to be?
Yeah.
You know, like the Gatwick drone that didn't exist. I think none of this is going to exist. It's like one of those things in a school where a kid faints and all the other kids faint as well, like sympathetically, even though there's nothing wrong with any of them. Like a mass outbreak of
fainting.
Of fainting. That's a thing. That happens sometimes. It's going to be like this. None of this has really happened.
None of it's happened. Someone's imagined it. But we've seen the video, but now it's turned into this legend. Yeah. But it's a bit like the legend of Sinbad. I mean, he never existed, I don't
think. Can't argue with that, Sam.
The legend of Jesus. Do we know Jesus existed?
Doubtful, to be
fair. There's all sorts of people who exist among us, or, you know, as a mythology, but it's not real. And this could go down as one of those. We've missed out some of my favourite bits that I'll just go through quickly.
Go on.
Again, and this taps into all ideas. Is it a myth? Isn't it a myth? Do they exist? Don't they exist? You know, the whole of New Zealand, the whole of the North Island of New Zealand is on tenterhooks worrying about these people appearing in their community. Maybe it's like, remember that Adam Curtis video documentary series, The Power of Nightmares?
Yeah.
How the government and the establishment and the powers that be create these mythologies, these dangers and fears in order to control us.
Yeah, exactly.
Could this English family be the creation of the New Zealand authorities to control their community?
Say
there's a dangerous English family on the loose, and we're the only ones who can protect you from them. It prevents
probably
anarchy.
Probably created by Auckland Mayor Phil Gough.
Yeah,
to be fair,
absolutely. So let's look at some of the stuff that people. Now, where is this? The Kiwis began sharing stories dating back to December last year. This is where things get sticky.
Because we're not sure how long they've been there. There's a Christmas tree incident, isn't there?
There's conflicting reports. That's my favourite bit, the Christmas tree. One of the women from travelling group, Tina Maria Cash, faced court in Hamilton after being accused.
Oh,
yeah, we've done that. We've done that. Okay, all right, hang on. I'm trying to get to the Christmas tree bit. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Outside the court, he flicked a finger. The court heard that Cash and the group had arrived in New Zealand on December 29th. This date all but rules out another alleged story about the family, with accusations that the group flew on a Cathay Pacific flight on January the 11th to Auckland, harassing other passengers and leaving soiled clothing in their hand luggage.
Ugh.
Right, so you've been on a 24-hour flight with a nightmare family, a family from hell, and they're harassing you the whole way. They're going around, who knows what form that harassment took. And then at the somehow they have soiled clothing, and presumably what that means is shit.
Shit.
So they've shat in pants or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe some puke.
And then they've somehow got it inside the hand luggage of their fellow passengers without their without the passengers noticing. See what I mean? So you'd have to go to the toilet, shit your pants, take them off, roll them up, then walk back up the aisle with them somehow hidden, maybe up your top.
About your person.
You got a pair of shitty pants up, hidden up your top, right? Then you open with one hand the cabinet, the overhead cabinet where they keep the hand luggage. You look around over both shoulders, make sure no one's looking, unzip the bag of someone else, and discreetly put the shitty pants inside their hand luggage, zip it back up, close the cupboard, sit back down. They don't know what's happened until they fucking get all the way to New Zealand, get back to their hotel, open up their hand luggage looking for something, and suddenly they're, what's this? There's a shitty pair of English pants in it. Do you know what I mean? So that was quite...
these people aren't amateurs. That's
there
clear.
Are also accusations that the tourists were responsible for stealing a Christmas tree from a petrol station on December the 7th, weeks before they had supposedly arrived in the country. It's clear to me that, well, first of all, seeing the Christmas tree is there's something really awful about that, isn't there? It really sullies and debases the most magical time of year.
Yeah.
But it's clear to me that this could be a large family who have come in waves. Do you see what I mean? There's a lot
possibly.
Of them, but they all have the same MO. So some arrived in December, some came later.
I still say they're a myth. It's like the Bodmin Beast. I don't think they're real.
Yeah. Yeah, the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. I don't care what the videos suggest or prove.
Yeah. Theresa May, she's another one. People don't know whether or not she actually exists or is just something that is in our collective imaginations. Yeah.
But we'll just keep a close eye on this one, I think, because it's not over, is it?
If we have any listeners in New Zealand, we'd love to hear if you've had any sightings or know anyone who's sighted this family. We would like to know more about John Johnson and his relatives.
Or if you could provide accommodation for us and we could come down and investigate ourselves sometime next week.
Excuse me, could you pick up that crisp packet? I'll smash your fucking head in! Okay, fine. Sorry, I just thought, you fucking do it, smash your fucking brains in. Go on, get the car, we'll run her over.
Run her over.
Nick her phone. Fucking bit snooty bitch, telling us to fucking not litter everywhere. I'll fucking run you over, love. All right, fine, don't pick up the fucking crisp packet. It's not worth dying. I mean, it's not worth you committing a murder over. It fucking is. I'm going to run your head over and then I'm going to nick your phone. And then we'll fucking see who's picking up whose litter.
Bring your dinner.
Yeah, bring your dinner too. Because the only litter on this beach that people are going to be worried about is your fucking brain splattered on it. Oh, all right, mate. Fucking hell. It's not a big deal. I was just suggesting. Anyway, shut up. I'm going to go nick some rope and some Red Bull.
In my nightdress. Oh, God. Right. So, we'll keep an eye on that because there's definitely more to come from that. That's been this episode of Top Flight Time Machine. We'll be back tomorrow with another bonus episode where we catch up with some of the contributions you sent us and bullshit sexual fails. There's even some bullshit haikus to read out.
Oh, lovely.
So that'll be good. So we'll be back tomorrow with that. Thanks for listening.
Keep it canty.
Oh, I'll give the email address out as well if you want to send stuff in. It's topflighttimemachine, all one word, @gmail.com. Send us your contributions and we'll read them out and then it's less for us to think about having to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.